The Unclaimed Treasure, A Crown of Sonnets for Ma Tante. My great aunt Amaryllis, rest her soul, was lucky born into a kind of tribe and time, polite and quite untroubled by the paradigm of woman singular. She could shovel coal down cellar and upstairs create a buttonhole. A whiff of peril made her pinch the thinnest dime to thinner, to a store of more. Thus in her prime was she a fearful thing, a woman in control. These truths meant nothing to a child of 10. Auntie was the only grown-up who could play real make-believe, was all I knew. Time and again, leaving her dresser drawers in disarray, her best silk scarves, a drape, my tragedien, I bowed to her, received her tossed bouquet. I bowed to her, received her tossed bouquet, as if I heard applause, and saw it fall over the sepia sofa's sepia shawl, into the amber spot of fading day I stood upon. The last sip of Tokay out of her goblet told us that is all. I remember asking things about a doll atop her dresser as we tucked the scarves away. That doll is not a toy. It's a keepsake, she told me, of the plastic lady, almond-eyed and permanently smiling. Meant to stand upon a cake. Then should there not be a boy doll by her side? Impertinent thought, an inquiry I did not make, of possibilities such as a groomless bride. Of possibilities such as a groomless bride there was no scarcity. For instance, Mr. Mack, the uncle who was not. He bought a Pontiac, so Aunt could take them Sundays for a ride. To all appearances, he did reside alone in a small rent-out back of Auntie's building, and would stop by for a snack or something now and then she would provide. What promises were made, kept or unkept, dressed in a morning coat or negligee, whether this uncherished woman soundlessly wept for herself and all the world's sad prey to gossips, or whether defiant she soundly slept, the doll on the bedroom dresser could not say. The doll on the bedroom dresser could not say, dumb witness as it was to all it could not see, whether a sob, an epithet, a vain soliloquy, or simple breaks of wind had come its way. Perhaps the doll did not imply a wedding day, I came to think, wearing as it did, cap a pie, a gabardine bereft of lace or filigree, and where a veil should hang, a cocky plaid beret. These words, embroidered and proclaimed across its tiny bosom on a band of blue, calligraphed the lady as the unclaimed treasure. Treasure? Here in plain view? The world was full of objects oddly named, and saying things a child could not construe. And saying things a child could not construe, the world went on its way, leaving the air heavy with questions. Great aunt was the rare exception. An unclaimed treasure is a woman who has never married, she explained, and slowly blew the hold of smoke deep in her lungs, up to the ceiling where it lingered and awaited more. Her game of solitaire calling her back, she stopped to play it through. Then, to finish the story, told me how her bridge club once had come to celebrate her turning 50 year, bearing a bittersweet bough and a cake with that tiny doll to decorate its topmost tier, that unclaimed treasure. Now there seemed little more to contemplate. There seemed little more to contemplate once facts had closed the door on doubt, though missing parts remained to figure out. What did it mean to be unclaimed? A reprobate? A wild thing no one could domesticate? Or was it to be odd and hard to think about? Better abandoned, something one should flout. No answer came. All I could do was speculate. I asked a relative what unclaimed treasure meant. He made a sour face, screwed up his nose as if succumbing to a most unpleasant scent. Like other relatives, he hated Amaryllis, I suppose, because he'd not returned some money she had lent. The debtor hates the lender, as the story goes. The debtor hates the lender, as the story goes, especially the debtor who can't or won't pay back. So to make her very being seem a lack, mean feelings grew into mean prose. Especially unsettling was the scorn of those who'd benefited most from Auntie's stack. From a vaguely felt permission to attack, their repertoire of evil words arose. Long as she lived, nobody spoke them to her face. To be the unrequited was her family role. She played it bravely, wanting love, still living grace. Waltz could not woo her, nor could schmaltz cajole. She's buried treasure now. I know the place. Rest, dear Aunt Amaryllis, rest your soul.